If you are a teacher, parent, administrator, student, and/or anyone who loves reconnecting children with nature, and you want to figure out how to cultivate learning gardens and nature-based curriculum, then this is the podcast, the Outdoor Classrooms Podcast. My name is Victoria Hackett. I am the founder of OutdoorClassrooms.com and the Secret Gardens Nature Classes. I love witnessing the magic that happens when children are playfully learning outdoors. Observing the return of wonder and curiosity when children are interacting with nature is pure magic. This is the podcast that is going to help you capture children's interest and give you not only inspiration, but some real life strategies that are going to help you figure out how to use the outdoor space, your outdoor space, as a teaching tool, so you can enlighten the playful learning experience for young children. Welcome to our Outdoor Classrooms community. Hello, everybody. This is Victoria Hackett here. Today's episode is a little different. I wanted to start by saying something clearly. I'm not a neuroscientist, and I'm not a researcher in spirituality. But as someone who spends a lot of time outdoors with children, with educators, and families, and over again, I see something I just can't ignore. These are moments in nature where something shifts. I think many of you, we've had many conversations. We use the word magic, what it is that's happening outdoors. Some professionals have been able to really articulate it. And I've just been thinking about it a lot and wanted to share those thoughts with you today. And as we know, I'm probably speaking to the choir, that this is when the child slows down. I think both their breathing and our breathing changes. The attention softens and the whole group dynamic changes without anybody naming it. So recently, I listened to a conversation with Dr. Lisa Miller that stayed with me. It's raised that question that I keep coming back to. What is actually happening in the brain when humans feel connected to nature, to each other, or to something larger than themselves? And how do we talk about that in education without losing that scientific grounding or sliding into a language that doesn't belong in classrooms? So today is not about answers. It's not about me being the expert here at all. It's just about exploration. And that's what we as educators do best, right? So I wanted to just say that I was listening to Dr. Lisa Miller on a podcast this morning, and really sort of this topic that she was talking about really resonated with me. And then again, all these conversations I'm having with our circle community, what I witness in when the children come to the Secret Gardens Outdoor Classroom, it just felt part of this work is unsayable. And I also find that many of the folks that are coming to the Circle membership and many of the educators that are finding me are just, the consensus is that this work feels like a calling. And so as nature-based educators, we are often careful, very, very careful with language because we want to stay grounded. We want to avoid overstating claims, and we want to stay far away from anything that feels a bit too abstract and unmeasurable. Yet, what we witness outdoors often feels so deeply meaningful that sometimes we can't necessarily put it into words, but I think we're all trying to try to, because we're trying to grow this movement, right? So witnessing a child fully absorbed in watching insects and those moments when a group suddenly quiets without being prompted, those moments of collective attention when something in nature changes? For me, and maybe for all of us, the question becomes, are these just behavioral shifts? Or are they connected to something happening in the developing nervous system? This is where my curiosity is piqued and my inquiry is piqued. Again, I want to be incredibly careful here. We are not trying to turn everyday outdoor learning into something mystical or unscientific. We're just trying to understand what the research is actually supporting. And the beautiful thing is that there are researchers out there that are really looking into this exact thing. So, examples from the Secret Gardens program, my nature-based classes, both parent-child classes and my after-school class, and teaching experiences with working with dozens and dozens and hundreds of educators, where I have seen the shift. I've witnessed not only the children coming into the outdoor space and there's sort of this running around where they're unregulated because they've been inside all day. And then there's this pause, especially in the Secret Gardens, because at a certain point, they feel like they own the space. It's their space. And I actually interviewed it was our final class for spring, and I interviewed the kids. I'm hoping to see if I can manage to put that into a podcast, but interviewing them, and one of the girls said, well, this is such a special place. It's where I feel free. And she was explaining that she felt so lucky and grateful that she got to come to this program because she knew that other kids, it wasn't accessible to all children. I mean, it just sort of blew me away that this little first grader was explaining in such an eloquent way what this space and this experience meant to her. And I see that same shift in educators. I see educators that have been working in the field for years and years and years, and then they find nature-based education, and then they decide not to retire. They decide that they want to dig deeper into nature-based education because they feel better, because they're in an environment that is feeding them. So let's start with what we actually know from the research. So when humans spend time in natural environments, studies show consistent psychological changes. So stress hormones like cortisol tend to decrease. Heart rate patterns often shift towards regulation. And attention becomes less strained and more sustained simply by spending more time outside. So in simple terms, the nervous system moves towards regulation. And this matters more than we sometimes realize. And imagine children sitting in their desks under those horrible lights. What we understand now about, or what we're learning about at regulation, it's not just calm. Regulation is the foundation for attention control, emotional processing, social interaction, and reflective thinking. So when we ask that question, what does nature do for children? We might ask, what does it mean for a developing brain to spend more time in a regulated state? Whoa, that just blows my mind. What does nature mean for a developing brain to spend more time in a regulated state? And this one thought that sort of came out when I started thinking about after listening to Dr. Lisa Miller, I wanted to become a researcher. She was talking about MRI studies and all this incredible, incredible research that she has, but it really made me want to sort of dig in more into this type of research. So from a neuroscience perspective, that is a significant developmental condition, which I find intriguing, exciting, and curious. As an educator, how can we interpret this in our worlds? So what regulation looks like in real children outdoors. And again, I can tell stories till forever about children that are coming into the secret gardens and they're sort of all over the place. And then they just land. They land. They're transitioning into this outdoor space. And after being in our class for an hour and a half, and many of you who are listening have all-day programs, but even just for an hour and a half, and they say it can actually happen in 20 minutes, but it takes kids a bit of time to land. So oftentimes, even when children are going outside for recess, it's not long enough to allow them to get into a playful state. And this playful state is where all this incredible attention control, emotional processing, social interaction, and reflective thinking can evolve out of. So we need to give children that time. And that time shouldn't be seen as an afterthought or something in addition to or a present or anything, you know, like that. It should be part of the daily routine. So this is where I want to bring in the work of Dr. Lisa Miller. Her research explores that she describes as the brain's capacity for meaning making is what she calls spiritual awareness, not necessarily tied to religion, but to a sense of connection, purpose, and awareness beyond the self. I think that's absolutely fascinating. Her work and learning about her work makes me want to reach out to her. I'm going to try to reach out to her and actually have her on the podcast because I was so inspired by this concept. And it kind of put to words into what I've sort of been thinking and then having the research backed. So her work suggests that individuals with a stronger sense of meaning and connection show greater resilience in a face of stress and depression. Again, what I find so incredibly interesting is not trying to draw hard conclusions here, but noticing the overlap with what us as educators see outdoors every day in our children. Because in nature, we, and I know I'm speaking to the choir, in nature, we often see children becoming less self-focused. We see them working together in building a fort. We see an increase in observation and attention to detail. We see curiosity in living systems. They're rolling over logs. They're looking for worms. They're making mud pies in the mud kitchen. And then there's these moments of awe and wonder. We had one of those moments an oriole. We never see orioles. Bright orange and black was in the Secret Gardens outdoor classrooms. And it was like, oh, and it was so amazing. It was not afraid. It stuck around for a while. So we could really embrace that moment of awe and wonder and asked a lot of questions. And the kids asked a lot of questions. In awe, from a neuroscience perspective, is really important. So it can shift to perception. It can temporarily change how we experience ourselves in relationship to the world around us. And it's that shift that may be part of how humans develop empathy, perspective taking, and a sense of belonging. Oh my goodness. This research is really underlining where that empathy comes from, the perspective taking, and that sense of belonging that we all know and experience. But it sort of, in my eyes, at least for me, it gives it a name and it tells me where that comes from. So, when I see this awe in children, when they come to the Secret Gardens outdoor classroom, it always feels bigger than language. And how to interpret that. But when they start to feel comfortable, when they get curious, when they are doing things, and I had one parent said that, oh my goodness, my daughter is so painfully shy that this is the only space where she kind of comes out of her shell. And I attribute that to nature in the classroom, and that she is in a space where she can kind of let go and just sort of be in awe, explore, and become outside of herself, where she sort of forgets that shyness. So I want to pause and ground this very, very clearly. None of this research is saying that nature creates, quote unquote, spirituality in children. That would be a complete overstatement. But what the research is suggesting is more layered. Many of you who are listening might already know this. Nature supports psychological regulation. And we may already be experiencing this, that we take our children outside. And there's many wonderful podcasts about even outdoor classrooms that are catering to children with special needs, and how the outdoor classroom just speaks and enables them to self-regulate, which is huge. So that regulation supports attention and cognitive flexibility in all children, no matter what their developmental status is. So this cognitive flexibility supports reflection and meaning-making. And this meaning-making is where humans begin to interpret their place in the world. What we call that is spirituality, connection, or belonging. It's shaped by language, culture, and a lived experience. So it's kind of interesting. No matter where you are on the spectrum and what you believe in, it's not a religious experience, so to speak. It can be for some, no matter, you know, that, and I'm not saying no or hey, but it's this connection to the ground, the earth, and that sense of belonging, whether it's the belonging of nature, that connection there, belonging to a group. But as educators, we don't need to define that for children. We don't need to. We just need to notice when it appears. And there's that magical word. And Richard Love, I think he wrote a whole new book on just notice. So notice is a very key word in nature-based education, where we just notice when it appears and we take note. And then that goes into our beautiful observations and whatnot. This is where I would love to share my philosophy as a nature-based educator, and why naming less can sometimes allow more depth. So we don't need to name everything what we're seeing. I think we need to notice what we see and observe in our outdoor classrooms, and then we can journal about it. We can use that information to connect us and guide us in terms of what we're going to have in our outdoor classrooms and so on and so forth. So what do we do with this new knowledge? So we don't need to change everything that we're doing outdoors. You are doing a fabulous job. And if no one's told you that already, I'm here to tell you, if you are outdoors, you are doing a fantastic job. You don't need to add new language or new frameworks, anything like that. But we might begin to trust something that we already see, that outdoor environments are not just spaces for learning content. They are environments that shape attention, regulation, and that connection that we've been talking about. Yeah, and it happens all the time in the secret gardens. When the parents arrive and it's time to be picked up, they don't want to go. They want to stay. I have some kids that hide. They want to stay outside because they feel good outside. So again, the outdoor environments are not just spaces for learning content. We're going to go out and we're going to learn about the butterflies. They are environments that shape the attention, the regulation, and connection. And that's these beautiful layers that I've been talking about. So it's this, we can learn something, obviously, when we're out there, but there's all these unspoken layers that are happening while we're out there. So when a child stays longer with something than expected, and this is what happens, what I observe over and over, what I'm noticing, there's that word, over and over again, is they, I think even I was reading to a child the other day, and the caregiver was saying, oh my goodness, he's never sat for that long, never. And we were reading, and then we did a project together, and he just sat. And I think part of that is because we were outside. It was a beautiful sunny day. The wind was blowing. It was incredible. So when a group settles into a shared focus, when curiosity replaces that restlessness, we can understand that those moments in multiple ways through neuroscience, regulation and attention systems. Through development, we have executive function and social awareness. And through lived experience, we have connection and meaning making. Isn't that amazing? So through neuroscience, we get regulation and attention systems. I think that's, I'm ready to go be a neuroscientist. So we don't have to choose one explanation. That's what's so beautiful. We can hold them together. So in sharing my own teaching philosophy and how it's changed over the years, I used to run a company called Programs for Educators, where I went out and I just taught behavior management. That's what I taught. And now my whole philosophy of education has completely shifted. And I even think I'm going deeper, deeper, deeper into the neuroscience of being outdoors. I think it's now I'm ready to go do MRIs and really study it in a deeper level. And what I now believe is open the door. It does not need to be complicated to open the door, take your children outside, and just notice. And that is the message I think I want to send today, is there's beautiful research that is happening. And I want to end with that, with more questions, not necessarily conclusions. So we are on this endless journey of nature-based education, cultivating outdoor classrooms, so every child in every school can have access to an outdoor classrooms. But we have to constantly, as nature-based educators, be continually learning ourselves and asking the right questions. And what are those right questions? So we as educators don't get bored and we continue to grow ourselves asking those questions. So here's a few. So what if one of the most important things in nature offers children is not something we can easily measure, but something they experience in their nervous system and in their sense of self? Wow. In their sense of self. Who do they become? Who are they becoming when they spend time in nature? And it's so interesting to me because I've had some children in the Secret Gardens Outdoor Classroom that came to my parent-child program and have been with me, and they're just graduating second grade. So I'd be curious if they come back as third graders, is this something that would still be of interest to them? But interesting to note how their nervous system and their sense of self, and I can witness just their sense of self, the confidence, the belonging, and all of that that we've talked about today is within them. And I think partly because they had the opportunity to spend time in nature. So another question is, what if meaning making begins earlier and more quietly than we often assume? And so when I think of this question, I think of my parent-child classes, where parents get to come with their little ones. They're too young to go to preschool or many, many formal programs. So this is a wonderful, wonderful option to be outdoors, to think about that, and to think that even if you have infants and toddlers, they too are outdoors and experiencing the birds and whatnot. So really thinking, doing this work with children as early as you possibly can, because maybe things are happening more quietly and more often than we can assume, and not think, oh, well, they're just too young. Another question, and what would it look like to stay curious about that and without rushing to define it? So everything that we've talked about, what if we were more curious? And that's where I'm leaning into, looking at all these, how we're connecting and how we're regulating and even the spirituality piece, leaning and staying curious into that. So I would love to continue this conversation, and I'm especially interested in bringing Dr. Lisa Miller onto the podcast. So if you're out there listening in a future episode, I would love to go deeper into the neuroscience of meaning, resilience, and connection. But for now, I'll leave you with this. Notice the moments outdoors that feel like something shifts. Not to explain them immediately, but simply to notice. Because sometimes that's the thing. It's the noticing is where the understanding begins. So enjoy your day, get outdoors, and we'll talk soon. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. If you're ready to take the next step and dive deeper into our community, here's how you can get involved. First, you can join our one-hour workshops. These happen every month with fresh and exciting new topics each time. It's a great way to get a taste for what we offer. If you enjoy the workshops, you can become part of our Circle membership community. And this will give you access to not only all the new workshops that happen every month, but it will also give you access to our entire workshop library, which is growing. It will also give you access to our monthly roundtable discussions. And also, as a member, you receive exclusive discounts on all our programs. It's wonderful, wonderful family. The final step, if you would like to dig deeper into our community, is to join our Outdoor Classrooms Teacher Certification Program. This program is for those educators who are eager to dig even deeper into our programming, and it's the perfect next step. If you want to learn more about each of these programs, or you're not sure where you need to start, or any questions that you might have, schedule a one-on-one discovery call with me, Victoria Hackett. I will put all of that information in the show notes. You can also go to our website at www.outdoor-classrooms.com to learn more information. We can't wait to welcome you into our community. Until next time,